الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وكفى الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن سن سنته واهتدى بهذه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجاءت سيارة فأرسلوا واردهم فأدلى دلوه قال يا بشرى هذا غلام وَأَسَرُّوهُ بِضَاعَةٍ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ صدق الله العظيم. So my dear and respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So brothers and sisters, we are talking about the surah, Surah Yusuf. And as I mentioned to you earlier, that this surah is a very unique surah in many sense. One of the unique feature of this surah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had talked about only one prophet in this surah, and that is Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But at the same time, there are so many lessons to be learned from this surah that, you know, in every ayah of Quran is giving us a new message and a new sabak. So yesterday I mentioned to you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam after his brothers had thrown him in the well. Which shows to us that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect somebody, no matter how many means are there to hurt him or kill him, nothing could harm him. And the second lesson that we learned is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give izzat and dignity to somebody, there's nobody who can stop Allah from giving dignity and respect. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, now he is living in the palace of the Aziz of Misr. So I'll continue from where I left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when Yusuf alayhi salam was being sold in the market or the bazaar of Cairo, then the governor of Cairo, he sent his men and he bought Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah says in Quran, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Aziz-e-Misr or the governor of Misr, after buying Yusuf, said to his wife, he said, "Akrimi mathwa," that treat this baby really nice. Because Aziz-e-Misr himself was a very wonderful man, was a very good person at heart. So he decided not to treat Yusuf as a slave. But he said, "Akrimi mathwa," treat this baby in a very dignified way. عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Perhaps this child, when he is going to grow up, you know, this child is going to benefit us in whatever way. So treat him nice. Or he said, you know, I might adopt him as my child, as my son. أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. So you see that age difference between this baby Yusuf alayhi salam and the wife of the governor of Egypt was such that the governor of Egypt was thinking of adopting him. So the age difference was substantial. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran further said, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. In this way, I gave a very dignified place for Yusuf to live. From the pit of the well, Allah took him out, and now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is living in a very dignified manner in the palace of the governor of Cairo. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I was going to make him a prophet later on. And among different branches of knowledge that I was going to give him, one branch of knowledge was ta'wil ru'ya. That I was going to give to Yusuf alayhi salam the ilm, the knowledge of interpretation of dreams. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that walamma balagha ashuddahu, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, from that age, 5 or 6 years old, when he came to the palace, he started growing. Now Allah said that now he became a young man. So when he became a young man, his looks were so amazing that whoever will see Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam will be amazed by his looks. So Allah said, "Walamma balagha ashuddah," he became a very strong young man. "Ataynahu hikma wa ilma," I gave him knowledge. I gave him wisdom. Now remember, he is not a Nabi yet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I gave him knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he was a person who was of great piety and taqwa. Of course, he was going to be a prophet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time and again in Surah Yusuf, is defending the character of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, because what was going to happen to him was something which was not that nice. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, said, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا, the wife of the governor of Cairo. One day he called Yusuf. So Yusuf thought that, you know, she is calling for some work. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam went to her bedroom, she quickly locked the door of the bedroom. And then she tried to commit adultery with Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. Now Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, he was a person of great piety and taqwa. He refused. He said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ, he said, I seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot do this. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَاي, I have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot do this. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give success to those who break the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But she was not willing to listen to any of the arguments of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So Quran says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. So she not only closed the door, but then she was forcing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to commit adultery with her. So when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam felt that this woman is crazy, you know, she is not going to listen. So he thought that the only way to protect myself from committing this heinous sin is to run away from this room. So he started running towards the door, but the door was locked. So when he reached the door, it took him few seconds to open. But by that time, this woman came and she grabbed Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from the back. So the back of the shirt was torn. But as Yusuf alayhi salam managed to open the door, there he saw a person, a servant who used to work in that palace, standing there. He heard some noises, so he came to inquire. So when the door was open, he was right there. So Allah said, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِيَا. So when this lady saw this third person, so she was embarrassed. But she was a very cunning lady. So she knew that now this person is going to go and inform my husband and I'll be in deep trouble. So before this man can go and tell her husband, she herself went. And she concocted a story. And she said that, you know, I was alone in my room and this person, Yusuf, came and he was trying to do this to me. But Allah saved me. Go and punish him. And yusjana aw azabun aleem. Put him into a prison or give him some painful azab. How can he do this? He has been living with us in our palace since his childhood. And today she made up a fake story. But when she was narrating this fake story to her husband. The husband was not a stupid person. He was the governor. He was a clever man. He turned to that. Now he knew Yusuf alayhi salam character, how good he is. So he was not ready to buy the story. But then he turned to the witness. Now the witness was there, right? And he was ready to testify against the woman. So then he said that, look, I am one witness, but there is another proof, and that proof is his shirt, the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam. In kana qamisuhu qudda bin dubur, if the shirt is torn from the back, then this is a sign that she is the one who was pulling Yusuf back, and Yusuf was running away. So this will show that Yusuf is innocent. And when kana qamisu qudda min qubul, and if the shirt is torn from the front, this would show that your wife was pushing Yusuf Ali away, but he was, al-a'adhu billah, trying to rape her. So the husband said, Yusuf, come here. And when he saw the shirt was torn from the back. So now this witness testify against her, and then this proof of shirt was there. Then the governor turned to his wife and said, "Inna kayda kunna azim," that, you know, I could put you into prison, but then I would get a bad name in Misr. Everybody will talk bad about me and my family. So he did not put his wife into prison. He did not punish her, but he apologized to Yusuf. This is how good the governor was. He said, "Yusuf, a'rid an hadha." He said, "Yusuf, please try to overlook and just forget about this incident." Yusuf anana. And then he turned to his wife and he said, "Wastaghfiri li dhanbik." He said to his wife that, you know what, I advise you to stop doing this and refine your character, and wastaghfiri li dhanbik, and do istighfar to Allah. Innaki kunti min al-khatin, no doubt you are the sinner, you are the culprit, not Yusuf. But as I said, that brother, Quran say that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, right, he came out innocent. The governor did not punish his wife, so everything kind of cooled down after a few days. So people kind of forgot. By the way, nobody knew about it for a long time. But then Quran says that وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, that somehow after some time this news leaked in the society of Cairo. So Quran says that the women of Cairo, when they heard this, they started gossiping. And they started saying, تُرَاوِدُ عَنْ نَفْسِهَا, that what kind of a woman she is, that she was forcing this person who is like her son, you know, who grew up in that palace since he was 5-6 years old. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا, you know, the love of this man had made her crazy. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, she's a very wicked lady and she's on the wrong path. So they started gossiping. So this gossiping kept on going in the society of Cairo for a long time. Now this news will reach the wife of the governor, and it will hurt her that now the women of Egypt are talking bad about her. But she could not do anything. But since she was a very wicked woman from inside her heart, so what she did was, Quran said, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرَسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ, that when the gossiping became strong, you know, in the society, what she did was that first she shortlisted those women who were the leaders in gossip, in gossiping. She made a list. And then she invited them to her palace. You know, and the whole issue was that, you know, she knew that these women have not seen Yusuf. Let them first see Yusuf and then let them decide for themselves. So she threw a dinner, lunch or dinner, whatever it was. Quran says muttaka'a, just a party. So these women thought that just like one of those social parties. So all those women showed up to the palace. وَأَعْدَدْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّقَعُونَ, and she made such arrangements that each woman will have her individual place to sit. And then وَأَعْدَدْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهُنَّ سِكِّينَ, she, among other things, she made sure that she puts a knife in front of them. Now why knife? And that also, you know, sharp as knife, not fork and spoon, regular sharp as knife. And then she put some fruits in front of them. So when these women came and everybody was settled down, right, they saw that in front of them is a knife as well as some fruits. So they understood that, you know, their host wants to cut the apple and eat. So now as they were cutting the apple and they were eating, at that moment Quran says that she, the wife of the governor, ordered Yusuf to come in front of them, either to serve them food or whatever. وَقَالَتْ تِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ, he ordered Yusuf to come. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam came in front of them. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ, when these women saw Yusuf, أَكْبَرْنَهُ, they were completely amazed. They have never seen a person so beautiful, so handsome. And they started saying, وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. They started saying that this person is not a human being, he's an angel. In hada illa malakun kareem. This is an angel. How can a man be so handsome with such good looks? And while they were looking at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Quran says that instead of cutting the fruit, many of them cut their fingers. Not the whole finger, I mean just the skin. So, when the wife of the governor saw this, right, she addressed those women. She said, قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِي, I have been hearing that you women have been gossiping about me. Now here is the man. Look how handsome he is. Now those women were silent. After dinner, they left. When they left, this woman turned to Yusuf and said that, Yusuf, remember, if you will not do what I have been commanding you to do, I'll make sure that this time I land you into more trouble and I'll make sure that you end up in prison. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam got tired of this. So he made a dua to Allah. He said, قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إلي. He said, oh my Rabb, to live in prison is more beloved to me than to do what she has been asking me to do. So what happened was that this woman, when she heard that Yusuf is not going to do this evil act, this time she has such a conspiracy against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that even her husband got convinced that Yusuf is not a good man, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into prison for a sin that he never committed. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُم مِّن بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ, لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينٍ. Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam now started spending years after years in prison. Now my dear brothers and sisters, I'll stop here for a minute and remind you about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because brother, this time my teacher who taught me tafsir back in India, he used to say that this, when he was teaching me, I remember back in 1987-88, he used to tell us that Surah Yusuf has so many lessons. And one other thing that my Shaykh Madhazul Ali used to say, that this surah is important for all aged people to learn, but especially for youth. Because they have to learn that zina or adultery is a crime, is a sin, which is so heinous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if a person will give in to that temptation of adultery and fornication, then that person will fall from the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this surah teaches us that Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was being forced by that woman, the sentence that came out from his mouth was, إِنَّهُ قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. Brother, this is the fikr of akhirat. You know, al-'aadhu billah, Muslims can do what non-Muslims are doing as well. Living without marriage, having children out of wedlock, you know, having girlfriends, committing zina. Well, many of them are doing already, but what I'm saying is that still, alhamdulillah, this ummah of Rasulullah sallam in this regard is not as bad yet as other communities, non-Muslim communities. Why are pious Muslims refusing to commit adultery? Although they have been living in this environment, they have temptation, they have opportunities to commit zina, to commit adultery. Why are they not giving in to these temptations? Only for one reason. And that is that fikr of akhirat. That if I will do this, I'm going to fall from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, zina or adultery is a sin, you know, for which maybe you are not going to be punished in this world. But definitely it is a sin that is going to hurt you, and is going to hurt your heart. You know, so Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, Qala ma'ad Allah. He said to that woman that I seek refuge with Allah, ma'ad Allah. Innahu Rabbi ahsan. I believe that one day I'm going to go to my Rabb. I have to face my Rabb, and I fear that day. So that fear, the fear of akhirat, prevented Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from committing this heinous sin. It is this fear, my dear brothers and sisters, that should stop Muslims from committing this sin. When the fear of akhirah will become weak, my dear brothers and sisters, then there's no stopping you and me from committing zina, al-'aadhu billah. Then why would you not commit zina if the da'wat of zina is so common, so strong? That you go to any place and you see that people are like, for among non-Muslims, zina is like not an issue anymore. I mean they had come to a point where they do not even consider it to be wrong. I mean, this feeling that it's a sin has long left their heart. So they just think that, you know, it's an in thing. Everybody is doing, you know, I have to do it as well. Kids from as young as 9-10 years old are doing this. 9-10 years old are doing it. Because there's no, you know, taqwa, there's no fear of akhirah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold me accountable. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, regarding Muslims, you have to understand, and brothers, please remember this ayah of Surah Bani Israel, if I can, I would like to just instill this ayah in your heart, whether you are young or old, man and woman, that regarding zina, the most powerful ayah of Quran, my dear brothers, is a very short ayah of Quran, very short, but it's so powerful, only if you can understand. Allah regarding zina said, "Wala taqrabu zina." This is in Surah Bani Israel. "Wala taqrabu zina, innahu kana fahisha wa sa'a sabila." Allah saying, don't even think of committing zina. Allah saying, do not go near zina. Meaning, do not go near those actions that one day could compel you to do zina. Meaning, do not watch those haram things that would entice you to commit zina. Do not go to those places that encourages you to commit zina. Don't say, Hafiza, I'm just going there. I'm just watching. I'm not going to do this. Allah said, no, you do not know, I'm advising you, do not go near those places. Because if you'll go near those places, one day, eventually, you will end up doing this. And once you do this, you are going to fall from my eyes. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah said, this act of zina is fahisha. Is a very, very indecent act. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And it is a very evil path to go on. So when, brother, the concept of hijab in Islam for both men and women is to protect them from going on the wrong path. So it is the fear of Allah, my dear brothers, that stops you and me from committing zina. If the fear of akhirah becomes weak or will vanish from your heart, then al-'ayadhu billah, you will commit zina and you will not find anything bad in it. Because your concept of akhirah is gone. You are not even believing that one day you'll be held accountable. Now, if there is temptation and you are saying no, my dear brothers and sisters, listen to this. If you have temptation, if you are invited by a woman to commit zina and you say no, brother, who will tell you, who will tell me the reward for that? The shade of Allah, the arsh on the day of judgment. Rasulullah said, if a man was tempted by a woman or a woman was tempted by a man, either way, and this Muslim or Muslima said, Inni akhafullah, I can do this, I have the capability and the chance to do this, but I will not do this because Inni akhafullah, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he refused and walks away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this action so much that Rasulullah said that on that day when there will be no shade besides the shade of the arsh of Allah, Allah will make sure that this person, male or female, who refused to commit zina, this person comes under the shade of Allah's arsh. And I remember one more hadith, brother, quickly. The mafhum of that hadith is that those people who gave in to this temptation, Muslims, non-Muslim, whatever, so they have a very kind of a unique punishment. Allah have prepared for them a very unique punishment. You know, brothers, the punishment of zanis is, fornicators is, the long hadith, but the mafhum of the hadith is that on the day of judgment, there is a huge hall. When I say huge, brother, it's humongous hall, where billions of people are going to fit in. Because right now, if you see, there's the world population of 7 billion, majority of them are zanis. Majority of them are zanis. So this hall is going to be huge. But you know, brother, the wall and the floor of this hall will not be of concrete. It will be of iron. Everything iron. And beneath this iron hall, the fire of Jahannam is burning. Now remember, the fire of Jahannam is 100 times more hot, or 70 times more hot than the fire of this world. Now this fire is burning beneath this hall of iron. And it has been burning for a long time. Long time. So the walls and the floor, everything is burning. Allah will order the angel, said that in this crowd on the day of Hashr, قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لَمَجْمُعُونَ. Everybody is assembled. Allah said, okay, pick these zanis here from this crowd. All these zanis. And they are in billions. And remember on the day of judgment, Rasulullah said to Aisha radiallahu anha that everybody would be naked. No clothes. Allah will say, okay, take these zanis and throw them in that hall. So these people will be thrown in that hall, and then due to the command of Allah, the angels will taunt these zanis and will say, now you are men and women are here together, no clothes, nothing. Now commit the same heinous act of zina right now as you were committing in this world. Now brother, when they will land on that hall, everything would be burning. When they'll touch the roof, it is burning. When they cannot stand, it is burning. Everything is burning. And on top of that, the angels are saying, now commit zina, do it. Didn't you know that in Bible, in Torah, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made zina haram, but still you didn't care and you were committing zina. This is one of the punishment for zanis on the day of judgment. So my dear brothers and sisters, one of the lessons that is very evident from Surah Yusuf is that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam refused the temptation from this woman to commit zina only for one reason, that he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feared the day of judgment. If we can just learn one lesson from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's story, and that is this one, you know, it will help us and the rest of the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Inshallah, we'll continue the story tomorrow. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallah bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.